myself away.
Yes, I give myself away so you can use me. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together once again in the house of the Lord. As you recall, we brought a need before you for our brother and fellow minister, Brother Timothy Ashong from Ghana, West Africa. So he was diagnosed with prostate cancer and needed to have a surgical procedure done. And so we brought the need before the body. And I just want you to know that the need has been met. The funding is all there. This Tuesday, he'll undergo the procedure. So we want to just keep him in prayer and put him before the Lord, knowing that God is his healer. Amen. Also, as has already been pointed out, we're a little bit thinned out here this morning because of so many cases of COVID. But we're not, you know, if you're sick, we're recommending that you stay home. It just seems like the logical thing to do. And we're right in the middle of another wave of COVID and flu. And you probably don't want to be here if you're sick anyway, you know. And so we're allowing the streaming of the services for the time being for those that are staying home. But if you're not sick, then come to church. We tried to, as carefully as we could, word it on the notice that we put on Facebook. And I had some tell me I read it and so I'm staying home because somebody else is sick. Well, you didn't read it because we didn't ask you to stay home if you're not sick. If you're sick, stay home. If you're not, come to church. So, and we want to just keep it that simple. At this point in time, probably everybody has had COVID. You say, not me. Well, you probably had it and didn't know it. But the rest of us know it. So if you need to take special precautions, well, then we advise you to do that. So during these kind of times, it just seems like wisdom to, you know, a fist bump or elbow bump in lieu of big old slobbering hugs and handshakes and sneezing on everybody. It just seems like wisdom to, you know, it's not a dictate, but we're asking you to consider that for the sake of others. Because we know that this spreads from person to person through bodily contact and somewhat through the air as well. So, is that understood? If you're well, come. If you're sick, stay home. Somebody say praise the Lord. We'd like to read from Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 20. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. And we'll read from Revelation chapter 10 and Exodus chapter 23 here in just a moment. Matthew 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do these other people say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do they say I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. At this time, John had been beheaded, and so they're saying that he's John the Baptist returning from the dead. Of course, they were a little confused because John and him were on the scene at the same time, but minor details. Some say that you're Elijah. Others say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Well, he was a prophet, that's for sure. He said unto them, but who do you say that I am? He's actually given the answer in the question. He's the I am. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, let me go to let me go to a theological school for 4 years and I'll come back and give you an answer. Or let us go into the room and draw straws and whatever the majority opinion is, because I don't want to be embarrassed. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the pillar of fire veiled behind human flesh, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So that same pillar of fire that you're recognizing is the one that revealed it to you. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter." Okay, you recognize who I am. Now I'm going to tell you who you are. "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, some would say that Peter means a stone or a rock, and so he's going to build his church on Peter. Well, he didn't build it on a man. And we saw where Peter was, where he stumbled and fell, so God's surely not going to build it upon a man. Some say that the church is built upon Christ or upon Jesus, but that's not what he said here either. I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, and in Scripture, a rock is a revelation. It's God revealing his word to you. Upon this revelation of who I am, I will build my church. In other words, it was revealed to you who I am, and my church will be built upon me being revealed to each and every one. Personally, I will build upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Again, Revelation chapter 10. In the first two verses. "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth." And if you'll just bear with me, one more scripture from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 23 and the 20th verse. "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you here this morning, it's with thanksgiving in our hearts, and Lord, as was sung so wonderfully this morning, and as we were reminded that you can do it again. And Lord, we're counting on that. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you've ever done anything one way, you'll do it the same. And so, Lord, we're looking to you for healing, for deliverance, for encouragement, for instruction, for peace, for safety, for admonition, for our daily bread. You're our all in all this morning, Lord. And so we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, we ask that you would feed us the word that would prepare us, Lord, for the days that lie just before us. And Father, may you nourish our souls, we pray, as we feast upon the bread of life, the living bread. You yourself said that that's what you were. You were the bread that came from heaven. Father, we ask that you administer to each and every heart here, all those that are listening in this morning. And we surely give you praise and honor and glory. We love you and thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to title the thought here this morning, Walking in His Presence. Walking in His Presence. So we read in Matthew chapter 16, as we just read, that the church of the living God is to be built upon the unveiling of Jesus Christ to each one that he places in his church. He says he's going to build a church, he himself. And he's going to place each one in that church body by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As Paul said, by one spirit are we baptized into one body. And He's not going to build his church on the knowledge, the head knowledge of who he was or who he will be, and nothing against teaching about who he was or will be. That's certainly necessary. But he's not building his church on education. He's building his church upon who he is, present tense, as he makes himself known to you, makes himself real to you through his word. And you cannot know who he is by head knowledge alone. You can only know him present tense by revelation, by him revealing himself to you. Amen? Otherwise, you have a second-handed robe, a second-handed religion. Otherwise, you're saying, so-and-so said that this is what he is. But he confirms his word to each and every one that he places in the body. So the Lord promised his church that he himself would reveal himself to each one of us as individuals. He said, I will send you the Comforter. I'll lead you into all truth. I'll teach you. I'll guide you. I'll comfort you. I'll be your friend. I'll be your provider. Amen. I will be your healer. I'll be your help in the time of trouble. I'll be your strong tower. I'll be your refuge. I'll be the rock. Amen. That my word will be a rock that your feet are firmly planted on. So Jesus tells Peter, I'm going to build my church, my bride body here on the earth through seven ages, and I'm going to unveil myself to everyone that I add and positionally place into this body. And it is this revelation of myself to them that's going to quicken them and place them in this body. And we are told in several places in the message of the hour that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is nothing short of the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally, or Christ making himself, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. So you recognize his voice. You hear him speaking to you from his word. So Jesus is telling us that his body that he works through, his church, will be built upon the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And those that are baptized in the Holy Ghost will defeat the gates of their enemies, for the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. From the message I know, Brother Branham says, those people who had seen him open the eyes of the blind, seen him stand there and perceive the very thoughts that was in the people's hearts, how did he know, they'd say, that them were coming after him? How did he know? Why didn't he know Judas would betray him? Why didn't he know the soldiers were coming up on the mountains there with staves and swords and everything to get him? If he could perceive their thoughts, why didn't he know this? Speaking of Jesus. See, the devil was working on them, putting them on an ash heap, for they wanted to give them a testimony of, I know, not I guess, or perhaps it's so. I know, I know. And remember, those trials are brought upon you the same way, so that you will not say, well, maybe this is right. Maybe the scripture is true. Maybe divine healing is right. Maybe the Holy Ghost is right. But when you get that experience and come off that ash heap and you get the revelation of God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can scream, I know my Redeemer liveth, because he lives in me. Again, in Laodicean church age, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mightest see. Reading from Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And he does not say that you have to buy this eye salve. Oh, no. There is no price tag on the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith. Galatians 3, 2. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can never have your eyes open to a true spiritual revelation of the word, and a man without the Spirit is blind to God and his truth. Now, we're not talking about some certain experience. We're not talking about speaking in tongues or nothing wrong with those things, but we're talking about Jesus Christ making himself real to you personally. In Christ is the mystery, he says, look, Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. See? Christ, the mystery of God, as Paul said, revealed in you. Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ.
Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See, what's God trying to do? What is the new birth then, you'd say? Well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? Well, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church or you shook a hand, nothing wrong with those things, or you done something different, you said a creed or you promised to live by a code of rules. But Christ, the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody else says or what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. And the church says, amen. Amen. Now, after studying Revelation chapter 10, we are told that we are convinced that the mighty angel that descends in verse 1 of chapter 10 can be none other than Christ, the Christ of Matthew chapter 16 that we read here earlier. He is the angel of his own covenant, signified by the rainbow that is over his head, the seven-colored rainbow that was over his head. It's Christ, and he is, it's the same one that is the Lamb, our intercessor, our go-between, the man that took our place, I'm searching for a word this morning that's so obvious, and our near kinsman. I guess that's two words, right? Our near kinsman. He's the Lamb of Revelation chapter 4 and 5. And he takes the book as our kinsman redeemer. And he opens it to us at the end of the church ages. And he's the same one in Revelation chapter 1 that we see standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which is the seven churches throughout the ages, which he interprets himself to us in Revelation chapter 1. And he's showing us that he is the one that's with his church, that he never abandons his church. He never leaves his church. And we found that the book that was in the hand of the angel of Revelation chapter 10 is symbolized by as a printed collection of words, written words on pages. Now, Revelation is a book of symbols. So here's an angel, and he's got a book that's open in his hands. Well, what does that book represent? And the fact that it's open and not closed. The seals have been taken off of the book. So what the symbol represents is a people. And they are described in that book. So think of it this way. A biography it's a book that's written about the life of a person, right? So we could then say that the biography or book speaks of or represents a person, right? So if I give you the biography of Abraham Lincoln, well, it's not Abraham Lincoln, but it's representing him, right? That book is speaking of him. That book is telling you about him. And it's telling you what he did. It's telling you about his character. It's telling you about him. The word biography, it comes from the Greek bio and graphia, which is the bio is life and graphia is the writing of. So it's the writing of life. It's a book of life. It's telling a story, right? But the person in the biography is a real person. And the book is the story of their life. So the book is a symbol of them. The book is speaking of them. So this little book that is in the hand of the angel specifically, well, it's the Lamb's Book of Life. And it contains the names of the bride and the bridegroom, but it doesn't, it's not your natural name. When we speak of names, it's actually God's word. And he's speaking of his bride in his word, right? So it's the section of his word that's speaking of his bride, and her identity or her biography is found in the book. The book tells us what she'll do throughout the ages. The book tells us what her character will be, how she'll be dressed, that she'll be arrayed in linen pure and white. It's granted to her to be arrayed in linen pure and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. It tells us about what she'll do. It tells us about what her character is. And the author of the book is the one who reveals or reads the book to her, if you will. And he is the theophanic Christ. Christ the Word. So this Lamb's book is contained in the Bible. It's not a separate book. It's not a different book. We don't believe in that. We've got the Word of God. But the book was closed to our understanding. But then it comes open, and Christ, the mystery of God, is revealed in His own Word. So it was something that was hidden to our understanding until He opens it and reveals it to us. And the Lamb's wife recognizes who the Lamb is by revelation, just as Peter, as we saw with Peter, or by him making himself known to her. So he is revealed to her in his word, in his story, and by the presence of his spirit in her life. And then he gives to her this open book. We read about that in Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. He gives to her this open book, which shows to her who she is. The Word shows you what your character is. The Word shows you what the church will do, how the church will act, what the purpose is. So the scene in Revelation chapter 10, it's not a picture of something that occurred in the past. Neither is it a scene of a future event, but it's something that's taking place right now. It is his, if you can receive it, this is not some strange doctrine, but it is his appearing to the church before the meeting in the air. And his coming to his church is him appearing to his church and making himself known to his church. You say, well, how's he doing that? Christ is revealed in his word. He's revealing himself to you in his word. And we recognize that we are now, there's three exoduses. We don't have time to break that down, but there are three exoduses that take place in the scripture. The first was God taking a natural people out of a natural land, Egypt, into a natural land, Israel. And then there was an exodus that took place when Christ came on the scene, and he took a spiritual people from the Old Testament law and brought them into grace. But the third exodus is a spiritual people being taken out of a spiritual confusion into the Word. And it also is taking us from these natural bodies into a body change, into the meeting that's in the air. So the word exodus, it means a mass departure. And we know that what the rapture is a mass departure. It's Christ coming for his bride. So the children of Israel, they were instructed to leave Egypt and to go live in a physical land that was promised to them. And in the same way, we've been directed to leave the confusion and the bondage of Egypt, which is the world's religious and political systems, that held us in bondage and confusion. We were all born into it. And we've been called to go on a journey to a place that's been prepared for us, which is a place of our full inheritance in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and He is His own Word. And this land has been fully opened to us in this hour. He's restored His Word back to His church once again. But in between leaving Egypt and receiving our complete redemption, which Paul says is the change of our body, there's a wilderness that's not our home. It's a place that we're just passing through, but we are passing through it. So in between Egypt and the natural land of promise, or Israel as we know it, there was a wilderness of sin. And we are traveling through a similar place ourselves, but what we are traveling through is Satan's Eden, or Satan's garden, if you will. And just as the children of Israel couldn't be sustained on what was out there in the wilderness, God had to provide manna from heaven and meat from heaven. We're not living off of the things of this world. He said, Jesus said, I am that bread of life that came from heaven, right? And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He has provided for us. We are feasting upon the manna, the heavenly manna. We are feasting upon his word. And that is what is sustaining us in our journey. That is what's keeping it. We're not eating on the things of the world. But we're eating on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. So then the question for us this morning is, who is it that's going to go with us on this journey? That was the question that Moses asked. Moses is to take the children of Israel from Egypt into the promised land. He said, okay, I get all that, but who's going to lead us? Who's going to go with us? Are you with me? And if we are in Exodus once again, there's the question put before us. Who's going to go with us? Who's going to lead us? If we have to overcome in Satan's Eden, well, and then ultimately have a body change, we which are alive and remain shall not hinder those that are asleep. We shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be changed. Well, who is it that's going to go with us along the way? We know that God is calling the Lamb's wife to make herself ready. And he's granted to her that she should be arrayed in white linen, pure and white. And we know that the Lamb is taking personal responsibility for his wife. And just as it is with a natural husband, friends, he's not going to send his wife out in the nighttime to go on a journey all by herself. The last Adam, or Jesus Christ, is with his bride and is leading her through the wilderness of Laodicea. And she's on a journey that ultimately leads to a wedding supper and to a place that's been prepared for her and her husband. So what man, might I ask this morning, what man in the natural would send his wife out alone when he knows that she will face danger? Recall that the first Adam, when Eve was deceived in the garden, where was Adam? Adam and Eve were separated. She was separated from the side of her mate when she faced the devil. But this Adam said, unlike the first Adam, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you, even in you. So a husband that is in his right mind, he goes with his wife to ensure her safety, just as Christ is going with his church. She doesn't know the way, he does. He said, I'll be your God. I'll lead you into all truth. So we saw that in the Song of Solomon, we took a series for, I don't know, 10 services or more. We saw his beloved that was represented in there. We saw that she had to go on a journey to meet with them, and she was provided for. There were those that went with her, that she meets her husband-to-be somewhere between where she's at and where he lives, and then he takes her on into their home, right? And that's just a shadow of Christ in his church. And we know that, so we read in Exodus chapter 3, or 23, verse 20, where the Lord tells Moses, I will send an angel out before thee. Who is this angel? And we know the events being played out by these prophets and characters in the Old Testament, they are prophecies of an end-time church. And they are types and shadows that are pointing to future events that will take place later. God wrote his word in people's lives many times. So the Lord tells Moses, behold, I send my angel before thee to keep thee in the way. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will protect you. He will sustain you along the way. And he will bring you into the place which I have prepared. Well, didn't Jesus tell us the the same thing? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And this place that we are going to is not just heaven, a natural place, but there's a spiritual provision that God has made. He has prepared a place for us in a time of trouble. He has prepared a place for us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We'll come back to that here in just a moment. Exodus 23, 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee. Why? To keep you in the way. And to bring you into the place which I have prepared. So we see that there is a place that he's taking us to also. And we're living in a day and an hour where people are looking for a leader to turn to that can lead us in these troubled times, right? And people are asking the question, who can we put our trust in? Who can we follow? Who can we believe? Who knows the way? There are many that say it's this way or that way. But as the scripture tells us, there's a way that seemeth right, but leadeth to destruction. Some may want to lead us and offer to us a change that we can believe in. That's what they say anyway. But there's only one change that I can believe in. And that is the new birth, where he changes me on the inside. And then the change of my body, where he quickens this body and changes it from where mortality puts on immortality. Amen. In our country, we're looking for somebody to lead us out of debt, lead us out of war, lead us out of poverty, bring us together, take us out of so much of a mess here and a mess there. And it seems like, and we're not here to discuss politics here this morning, but we're looking at the natural type. It seems that each one just leads us into a greater mess than the previous one. So then the question is, who's going to lead us through all of this? There must be a way. Who's going to lead us? Who will go before us on this journey through Satan's Eden and to a body change? Exodus 33:12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. So Moses is saying, Lord, you know me by name, and you told me that I found grace in your sight. This looks like a Matthew 16 all over again. If you know me, in other words, if I'm in your book, if I can find myself in the volume of your book, and I found grace in your sight, Lord, you told me, bring up this people. But you didn't tell me who it is that's going to go with me, Moses said. Now, Moses was a mighty prophet of God. And yet he knew that he could not humanly take these people over and through all of this. There would need to be a supernatural being to take the people over. Now, no matter how called of God that Moses was, and how ordained he was, and how gifted he was, and he certainly was, he knew that he could not take the people over with his human ability. He knew that it would require a supernatural power to take them over into the promised land. Are you still with me? So for you and I to take a body change, to overcome, and to meet him in the air, well, it's going to take a supernatural power. It's not going to be based on education and human ability. Moses asks a question that all of us should be asking this morning. Who is it that's going to go with me? You told me what my destination is. Where I am, I'll come for you, that where I am, you may be also. But how am I going to get there? Who's going to make sure that I don't fall by the wayside? Who's going to navigate the way through the wilderness? I don't know the way. Oh, wait a minute. You said you are the way and the truth and the life. Who is it that's going to go with me? God, if I've truly found grace in your sight, and you've told us that, you knew us beforehand by name, but tell us, who is it that's going to go with us? Your confidence isn't in the church. Nothing wrong with the church. Your confidence isn't in the pastor, though you should have confidence in who God gifts you with to lead you. But your confidence is in him. Verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. You said I found grace in your sight, Lord. Show me now thy way. Oh, I love it, friends. That I may know thee. That I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. God is known by his way, and his way is his word. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. My word is spirit, my word is truth. So his word is the way. Follow my word. So if we substitute way for word, we find Moses saying, show me now thy word, that I may know thee. Christ is revealed in his own word. Verse 14. And he said, so Moses is wanting to know, how can I know that you're with me? You said I found grace in your sight. How can I know that you're with me? Who is it that's going to lead me? Who is it that's going to take these people up? Who's going to make sure that we get from here to there? And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. I hope you're listening this morning. Then who is this? Who is this angel that's going with him? It's Christ. It's the same one. Christ of the Old Testament, Jehovah of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ of the New. It's Christ of all the, it's always Christ. He said, I'm not going to send somebody else. This is too big of a job. I'm going to lead you myself. How does he lead his church? By himself. He's the head and she's the body. He gives the order. She packs them out. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, it's just laying here waiting. And he said, my presence. Here's how you're going to know that I'm with you. My presence. I'm going to reveal myself to you personally. I'm going to fill you. I'm going to walk with you, talk with you. You open the door. I'll come in and sup with you and you with me. We will commune. I won't speak of myself, but I'll speak of my word. And I will reveal myself to you. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll comfort you. I'll show you the way, and I am the way. Now, this sounds an awful lot like Jesus when he said in Matthew chapter 11. So this is God speaking to his Old Testament church. Now here's God speaking to his New Testament church. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and we are all bound by sin, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So this is going to be a walk where I'm yoked to somebody else. Who's going to go with me? The one that's leading me. The one that I'm yoked to. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. So the verse 28, he's telling us, you know, this is what takes place when you're burdened with sin and you find out there's a kinsman redeemer. You find out that there's one, a just one, that paid the price for the rest of us. One who knew no sin that took up, that became sin, took upon our sin. And so we discover that and we believe it and we lay down our burden. And we find rest. But then that's not the end of it. Now he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now you're starting to walk with him and learn of him. And he says, you're going to find out I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Well, wait a minute. Verse 28, he said, I will give you rest. Well, yeah, rest from laboring against sin. Verse 29, you shall find rest for your souls. I'll be your guide. I'll be your comforter. I'll be your friend. You're not just forgiven. I'm taking you. I'm taking personal responsibility for you. I thank you, Father. All that you've given me will come. I will not lose a single one. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As the scripture says, his doctrine is like dew. It's refreshing. It's not burdensome. Some of you women preachers need to stop preaching to the rest of us here. You need to quit putting burdens back on people. I'm going to preach that spirit out of here. That legalistic devil that wants to, well, you're not doing this or you're doing that. And that's self-righteousness. That's you justifying yourself by your own actions. Well, who's the one that's leading you? Is it a rule book or is Christ leading you? Well, if he's leading you, won't he lead somebody else? Well, it sounds like you're condoning sin. Which one of us is changed? Paul said, I'm pressing toward the mark. He said, not as if I have arrived, but I'm pressing toward it. We're all pressing toward it. We're all at different stages and different levels. People start coming and joining, and you want to put your legalistic yoke? That's not Christ. I'm discerning the Spirit. That is not Christ. Keep your demons to yourself. What he's telling them is, listen, Moses, this is my work. You're not going to get over there and brag that you did this. Moses realizes he can't anyway. This is my work, Moses. You don't have to worry about it. I'll be water from a rock for a thirsty nation. I'll be the manna that comes from heaven. I'll be the guide. I will be the brazen serpent when they're bit by serpents. I will tell you to fashion a brass pole with a serpent on it. And brass represents judgment. And that serpent represents sin. And when people are bitten, if they look to this, they'll live. Amen. What is that speaking of? That's speaking of Christ. Christ who was nailed to a tree and became your sin. You look to him and live. You look to him and you are healed. You look to him and you are delivered. This is my work, Moses. I planned this out, every last little detail. You don't have to worry, Moses. I have come down myself. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and then the trump of God shall sound. Moses, you've been stressing, you've been wondering, how am I going to get them through this wilderness into this promised land? How can I get them to overcome in Satan's Eden and get them to a body change and not lose a one? Well, Moses, I'm glad you asked. Here's how it's going to be. My presence is going with you. My presence is going. I'm not sending another one. I myself, my presence. I'm the angel of my own covenant. My presence is going with you. I am coming myself. I'm not sending a lesser being. My presence shall be with you. And that's how you'll know that you found grace in my sight. Listen, friends, we first must recognize what we must pass through on this journey to a rapture. And to get there, we must pass through Satan's Eden, the worldliness, all the religions, and not be overcome by it. So how are you going to do that? That's a question for each and every one of us. How are you going to do that? Things are getting worse and worse, not better and better, worse and worse. So how are you going to get through it all and be unblemished? How are we not only going to get through, but also prevail, overcome, not be overcome? We've seen by prophecy that these supernatural powers are going to be released, and they have been. No wonder we see insanity on every turn. The mind of Christ has found a body. The Son of Man has found a place to lay his head. Christ is laying his head on his church body. Take on you the mind of Christ. So we're seeing the mind of Christ, what the Word says, what God's thoughts are on the matter. And we're seeing insanity. Two opposites. Here, some years ago, a young man here in Tucson killed 6 people and wounded 14. And those that knew him, Jared Lochner, it was on my birthday, that's why I remember it. Then somebody else that shares the same birthday called me up to tell me. I thought, wow, quite a celebration, isn't it? Those that knew him saw insanity in his eyes before this act. No wonder crime and hatred are on the increase. The very mind of Satan is being poured out. Because the very mind of Christ is being poured out. But there's a people at the same time, friends, who are receiving the mind of Christ. So are you going to tell me this morning that you know the way through the wilderness, that you plan on navigating the wilderness on your own? You know the way to the rapture? You can't. I can't. We know that. So we need more than just mechanics. We need the supernatural presence of Him to go with us. It's all about Him. So it's not enough to have the message, and it's not enough to recognize a mouthpiece. We must have the person of the Word with us. My presence shall go with thee. It doesn't get any more personal than that, friends. When all hell is against you, my presence will go with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How are we going to overcome the attacks against our marriage? How are we going to overcome Satan's attacks on our children? How are our sisters going to overcome the feminist spirit that wants you to be independent and domineering and all-sufficient, which is a type of a church that doesn't have Christ the head? She's independent, domineering. How are our young sisters going to overcome the spirit that wants to be independent? How are our young brothers going to overcome the spirit of sex demons? Of putting work before the things of the kingdom of heaven, before the body change. Friends, you've been birthed, you've been placed here on the earth. Think about it for a moment. You've been placed here on the earth in one of the most wicked, one of the most deceiving, one of the most insane times that has all the trappings of the flesh that the church has ever faced over the last 2,000 years. It's so deceiving. You can't even buy something without having a degree before you buy it. You have to know so much. You can't just go buy something. Well, they said this, and they said, well, how do you know it's the truth? Now, explain to me again, how is it that you plan to make it and to overcome? We read in the book of Revelation, they overcame by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. The word of your testimony is the word that God gives you for the trial that you're going through, and it produces a testimony. So it's that word of your testimony and by the life that was in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So you've been birthed in this most wicked of times. How is it that you plan to make it? How is it that you plan to overcome it? You're not going to do it by yourself. He said, my presence shall go with you. So I'm here to tell you today, friends, that something greater than you and I is going with you. And without him, we're lost. The scripture tells us a mighty angel has come down. Not as a weak one. My presence shall go with thee. I am going to give you peace. I am going to give you joy. I am going to give you comfort. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's my provider. He prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The hosts of hell will be all around you, friends. But he will set a table down before you, and you will be eating hidden manna to sustain you in the journey. So all the revelation of the words of God are being provided to you while I deal with my enemy, he says. The mighty angel deals with his enemy. It's the battle is the Lord's. The victory is yours. Verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I love this, friends. I love this. God, if you're not going with me, I don't want to go. I can't do this. I don't want to take a single step without you. I must be assured of your presence, especially in the gross darkness that's surrounding me in this last age. Satan and his angels, friends, they have been placed in chains of darkness, the scripture tells us. And that darkness is gross darkness. There's a famine in the land for the hearing of the word. Not for the word, but for the hearing of the word. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Your eyes, that they see. Verse 16. For wherein, in other words, how, shall it be known here that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that you're going with us? So shall we be separated, and thy people. Friends, if you're yoked with Christ, you're separated from the world. Doesn't mean you're arrogant, but you're walking with him. You go where he goes. So shall we be separated, and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, we can't separate physically from all the people that are on the earth, but we're not called to. We're in a spiritual walk. To walk with him, you can't embrace the things of the world. Amen? We know that we have found favor. And this is how we know. How do you know? His presence is with you. The only thing that's making the difference for you today is his supernatural presence is with you. He said, I will lead you and guide. Friends, he meant it. He said it. He's doing it. He separated you from the world. And he is separating you from the world to walk with him. You are, as Paul put it, you are a called out and chosen generation. And if you lose your, you lose his presence in your life, you've lost everything. When the church loses his presence, now the church nominal put him out. You read about it in Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Why is he knocking at the door? Because the church put him out. They said we're rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. That's what they say. But then he says, you're wretched, blind, naked, poor, spiritually speaking. The irony of it is, physically, they are rich. So when the church loses his presence, have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, when the church loses his presence, when he's not with his church, you've lost everything. When your home loses his presence, you've lost everything. When the church world loses Christ, they've lost everything. And Laodicea has willfully put him out. And without him, we can do nothing. He said, I stand at the door and knock. Any man that will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. For I say unto you, thou art Peter. I know who you are. I called you. I ordained you. You found grace in my sight. My presence shall be with you. You will know that you found grace because my presence is with you. Amen. Oh, Brother Baker, you overemphasize. How could I overemphasize that? Without his presence, what's the point? Verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, you can't see my face though, Moses, for there shall no man see me and live. Now remember, this is under the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament. The sacrificial physical lamb provided an innocent blood, and that blood did not take away your sin, but it covered your sin. But you hadn't been changed on the inside, because the right kind of blood hadn't been offered yet. But that was foreshadowing the Lamb of God that would one day come and be slain, and his blood would not cover your sin, it would take away your sin. So under the blood of bulls and goats, you couldn't look upon God and live. So Moses could see the types and shadows of the Lord. He saw the back parts, as it were, the back parts of a man, but he couldn't see his face. But in Revelation chapter 10, under a new testament, under a new covenant, we see the unveiling of God. We see him face to face. How is it that we can see him face to face in all of his glory? We don't see in part. That which is in part is done away. But we see him in all of his glory. God holds nothing back from his church in this hour. What took place on Mount Sunset? His face. Verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. We know a rock is something that doesn't move. It's unmovable, it's unshakable. The wise men built his house upon a rock, not upon sand, not upon this or that. It didn't matter what kind of structure you built. It's what you built built it upon, mostly, that was important? Christ said, I'm going to build my church upon the unmovable, unshakable Word of God. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot or tittle of my word shall pass away. We read where David catches this inspiration in Psalm 27. You can read the whole thing. There's a whole lot in there, but just let's look at verse 5 here for a moment. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Where are you hidden? You're hidden in Christ. He shall set me upon a rock. What does he set you upon? Well, I don't know what to believe. I don't know who to believe. I don't know what to trust. Stand upon his word. His word will never fail. His word cannot fail. So he places us upon a rock of revelation. Verse 22, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of a rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. That was the tender hand of Jehovah. Because Moses couldn't look upon his face and live. God was veiled before his prophet. He was veiled in the Old Testament behind badger skins. He was veiled in the New Testament in the man Jesus Christ. But throughout the church ages, he said, I will be with you, even in you. I will make you. Know ye not, ye are the tabernacle of the living God. So God was still veiled to his prophet at that time. Verse 23, and I will take away my hand, and you're going to see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. My face won't be seen in under the blood of bulls and goats. It'll take a greater blood. Not something that will cover sin, but something that will kill sin. And that sin nature. Chapter 34, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. So when Moses came down with those tablets of stone, they were showing the people the Lord's back parts. His back parts is his law. He was revealed in the Old Testament. You're seeing his shadow of things to come by seeing his law. He's bringing his law down on these tables of stone. So the law was the shadow of who he was. Verse 3, and no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount. Neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into Mount Sinai, and as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud, foreshadowing what he's going to do at a future date. The Lord descended in a cloud and stood with them there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now we know that no one can stand where a prophet stands. And we also know that in proclaiming his name, he's proclaiming his word. Ask anything in my name according to my word, and I will do it. This is the confidence that we have in him this morning, friends. Verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Sounds like Christ, doesn't it? That's the God that we serve this morning, friends. In proclaiming His name, He's showing you who and what He is. How's He showing me? He heals you. Showing you that He's a healer. He delivers you. Showing you He's a deliverer. He comforts you. He encourages you. He gives you peace. He gives you joy. He does all of these things, and He's proclaiming His name because your name is who you are. Your name is your character. He's proclaiming all of these attributes by living them out, showing you. Friends, there's not a one of us that's going in that rapture that won't have the same testimony when we get there. He did it. From start to finish, it was Him. So He says, I'm going to send my angel. Who exactly is this angel of the Lord? It's the angel of His own covenant, the theophanic Christ. I am going to send my presence, my angel, to keep thee in the way, to guard you, to lead you, to sustain you, to bring you to that place, to make sure that you come to a body change. That same one is with us this morning. That same one is the same angel that Jacob wrestled with and got a name change. That same one is the captain of the host that stood before Joshua. That same one is the angel that appeared before Gideon and said, "Thou mighty man of valor." That same one, it's the Christ of all the ages. And it's His presence walking with you. Let's stand this morning. The musicians will make their way. Friends, what more does He have to do? He's shown it to us all through the Scripture. He showed it to us in types and shadows. Then He showed it to us in the man Jesus Christ. But now He's showing it to us again, as He's coming behind the veil, revealing Himself to you. How's He revealing Himself to you? In His Word. He's identified by His characteristics. His Word is His characteristics. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, as we stand before You, what a privileged people we are, Lord. What a blessed people. Lord, to know You, not to just know about You, but to know You in Your resurrection and in Your life. We're not following a story this morning, but we're following a person. We thank You for what You did, and we thank You that we have a biography of what You've done throughout the ages. But Lord, if You don't make Yourself real to us today, all of that is in vain. But all of that is to show us so that we can know exactly what to look for in our day. And if it doesn't match what your word, then we know that it's another spirit. It's another quote-unquote guide. But it's a false guide. It's something trying to lead us astray. Whether it be a pastor that's claiming ownership or responsibility of the church, whether it be a church that says your safety is in us. If you go to our church, you're safe. If you don't go to our church, you're lost, and we'll take you out from under the blood, as if they put you under the blood. No, it's Christ, the mystery of God, revealed to each and every one of us personally. Lord, we can rest in that. We can have confidence in it. We're not fearful this morning. We're not worried. We're confident that the one that started this work is going to finish it. that we're following the true voice. That voice matches your word in every way. It doesn't contradict in any way. And we're resting in that this morning, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for showing us your face, Lord, for revealing your name, for revealing your person, your identity. Thank you for going with us. Thank you for the confidence that we can have this morning that the one that's leading us and guiding us won't lead us astray. And this isn't some kind of a journey where we're trying to toss people aside along the way and putting people in or out based on conditions. The condition is we repent, we die out, we accept your pardon, we're baptized in your spirit, we become a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. You write those commandments not on tables of stone, but on hearts of flesh. You are our guide. You are our leader. You're our great physician. You're the one that we have confidence in this morning. You're the one that we're expecting to see in that great meeting in the air. The one that we're going to see is the one we're following right now. We know that we're in a spiritual union with you, even as we speak. We know your character. We're learning your ways. We're yoked to you. Your burden is light, your yoke is easy. Lord, my redemption is not burdensome. Your word is not grievous. But it's light, it's refreshing. And it gives me confidence because everything else, Lord, we can't trust. There are so many voices out there. And we know the Antichrist spirit would be so close here in the end time that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. But Lord, it's because we hear your voice that we have confidence that we won't be deceived. And your voice is your word. I pray that you move upon each and every heart. Lord, whether in the building, whether listening in this morning, or will listen in, Lord, may each and every one of us make our calling and election sure. May each and every one of us, may it break on us, Lord, that we can know this by faith, that we can know this by revelation, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That we can have you walking with us and in us along the way. We're not arrogant about it this morning, Lord. We're also not lighthearted about it just because we say we're at rest or peace. We're at rest and peace because our destination is in your hands. Our life is in your hands. And we're not fearful of whatever the enemy might bring across our path. You've made a way, and you are that way. And we know that the trials that we go through, burdensome though they can be, they will bring us to maturity. They will perfect us. They will make you just that much more real in our lives. They will bring you upon the scene. And you'll cause every one of those trials to work for our good. And we will be better off because of it. I pray, Lord, that move upon each and every heart. We realize, Lord, that a man can call someone to make a choice or a decision. But Lord, when you're pulling on the heart, that's what we encourage people to respond to. If God is pulling on your heart, we advise you, adjure you, encourage you to surrender to him, trust him. Sure, he's not going to tell you everything about himself at the beginning. He'll tell you what you need for the moment. But as you walk with him, he'll continue to reveal himself to you in a greater and greater measure. And the love affair will just get deeper and deeper. walking with his presence. What a comfort this morning to know that we don't have to be afraid, that we have not received the spirit of bondage again, which we all had a spirit of bondage, again to fear, but we have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Father. I pray that you deal with each and every heart, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone that hasn't responded to your call, may they do so. Lord, just it's so simple, but it's a choice that only we as individuals can make, and as we saw on Wednesday, you placed it before each and every one of us. You've counseled us. Here's the choice I put before you, life and death, and I'm counseling you to choose life, but it's your choice. May each and every one, Lord, make their choices, our prayer. Those that have made the choice, may they be encouraged this morning, Lord. Maybe they're going through a trial right now. The enemy's coming in like a flood. But Lord, you said when the enemy does come in like a flood that you'd raise up a standard, and your standard is your word, that you did strengthen, encourage, and provide. May they be encouraged this morning. May they be strengthened, Lord. May their strength be renewed. May their eyesight be renewed as our prayer. The enemy has come in, Lord, tried to place sickness. He's doing it the world over. But you are our healer this morning. And we profess that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By your stripes, we are healed. We were healed. We accept that tonight, Lord, for this body. And for the, Lord, for the other requests of other members of other parts of the body and other parts of the earth. We believe it, we accept it, we confess it. Thou art the Lord that healeth all of our diseases. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this assurance, for this telling us, Lord, that the way that we can know that we won't be deceived is that you'll go with us. I can't think of a greater assurance, a more blessed assurance, than to have your voice. And I pray that each one would be comforted this morning, Lord. Move upon each and every heart. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Like the presence.
nothing like the presence. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like the presence. Nothing like the presence. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord again. There's nothing like the presence, nothing like the presence, nothing like the presence of the Lord. No, there's nothing like the presence, there's nothing like the presence, the presence of, there's healing in the presence.